about ready to finish it up. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Go ahead and read the chapter again for us. Get us back in context. Again, Paul is writing. He's concerned about these folks. He got a letter from the house of Chloe, and they were describing to him what was going on in the church. And he, being the founder of that church and wanted to encourage them, he wrote them this letter back. There was a letter written as well. We don't know when it was written, and we know it was written to these folks. Paul had wrote it. He mentioned that in this in 1 Corinthians. But this one here we have. We can see exactly what he penned to them. And again, being inspired by the Spirit of God. So if you have your Bibles open to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, follow along as I read this passage. I'm taking this off, if that's okay. Oh. Am I not apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are ye not my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal of my apostleship are ye in the Lord. My answer to them that do examine me is this: have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? Or I only and Barnabas, have not we power to forbear working? Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? For who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man? Or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or saith it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of this hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be so done unto me. For it is better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed to me, unto me. What is my reward then? Verily that, when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without law, being not without law to Christ, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be a partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run a race run all? But one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so I fight. I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Father, we come to you again thanking you for the word of God. We thank you for the opportunity to be here. We are thankful that you love us and care for us. We thank you for the blood of Christ. We thank you for the life you give to us and you allow us to live. Father, what a privilege it is to serve the the Almighty God. We thank you again. We pray you just meet with us today, that you bless each one here, that we would take the Word of God and hide it in our hearts. And Father, that we would be able to use it to guard against the things that the devil would want us to do and to think. We thank you again, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we look at this, we came to, I think it was the verse 21, 22 is where we're at in this today. So we're going to pick it up there. He talked about the different things. He was doing this for the gospel's sake. He taught us that in verse 15 through 18. And then verse 19 down through verse 23, he's talking about sinners. For their sake, he's submitting himself to Christ and he's willing to follow him. And again, specifically what he's talking about in this passage is they're questioning his apostleship because he didn't take any money from them. And so he's explaining this whole concept, and this is how it began, is the idea that he asked those rhetorical questions, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? So he began it that way, and he talked about the idea that others have taken money, but he would take none, but he could. And he talked about, in verse 6, says, or I only and Barnabas, have not we power to forbear working? In other words, can we not do this job of making tents or whatever, but can we receive from the ministry that God has given to us? And, of course, he gave illustrations, and he said that he wouldn't do it, though, because he didn't want to cause any problems with the gospel. He didn't want to abuse it. He didn't want to have any charge to it. Verse 18, what is my reward then? Verily, when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. So he's, again, defending his apostleship, defending the fact that he is one. And then he goes down in verse 19. He's talking about what he is willing to do for the cause of Christ. To the Jew, he became a Jew. In other words, he was someone who would go under the law, the Jewish law. He would follow that, as long, again, as it didn't cause him to sin, which the Jewish law would probably not cause him to sin. And that fact is, he didn't tell everybody else, he didn't tell the Gentile, that they had to be under the Jewish law. And when he went to the Gentiles, he didn't. He didn't observe those laws that he knew he didn't have to. So he became a Gentile for the sake of the Gentiles. And in verse 22, where we pick it up, he says, to the weak became I as weak that I might gain the weak. And so he's talking about those that maybe don't understand everything about the Word of God, maybe have struggles. He talked about the meats in chapter 8, about the weak Christian. There are people who are weak. And so he, not being under the law of the Jewish law, he would not present it that way, but he would present it the way it is, that Christ is free. It's a free gift. And he would teach them that way. He didn't become like the world to win people. He didn't wear jeans that had holes in them in the knees and purposely buy them that way. You know, that's crazy. Save your jeans with the holes in the knees and give them to me. We can put them on eBay and we can make a million. But whatever. No, he didn't follow the fads or fashions. He didn't go after the world. He was always going to serve God. He was always going to be in a position that he would never find himself in a position of sin. And so the things he did under the gospel and under the Word of God. And he did it not because there were some rules there that he would check off or whatever. He did it because he loved the Lord with all his heart, with all his mind, with all his soul. And the same thing that as we are learning and growing in this grace that God has given to us, that we try to do those things because we love the Lord. As the Lord shows us and reveals to us what he gives to us and how he enables us. And everybody has different abilities and different things they can do to serve the Lord. And as those folks have those, they use those things. But he would never bow down to sinful activities. You know, some people think that maybe he would allow himself to go to bars or something. That's the place to win win people to Christ. You're not going to win a person to Christ in a bar. Ain't going to happen. The music's too loud. They're probably intoxicated. They're not in their right mind. It's not a place to go to win people to the Lord. It's not a place to go to be a testimony of Jesus Christ either. It's just not. The best place to be a testimony of Jesus Christ is when you can reach out to somebody in any situation other than putting yourself in a wrong situation and telling them about Jesus Christ when the Lord presents them. We shouldn't go to places because we think that's going to work. I'm sure Paul wouldn't listen to music that was not Christ-honoring. He wouldn't hang around with idolaters or fornicators. He mentioned that in chapter 5. He said in verse 5, talking about this one who had this relationship with his father's wife, he says, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was telling them to put him out, not have fellowship with him. Paul shared with us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, again, reminding us that he came, became weak to those that were weak. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he says, O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be also enlarged. And then he shares with him, he says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And verse 7, chapter 7, verse 1 says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So Paul would walk, and he would continue to walk as a believer, and he would try to strive to be holy. That was what his calling was as a Christian, was to be holy to God. And so even though he's trying to win these people, he would never submit or succumb to anything that would lead him into sin or direct him that way. And so he says, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And again, he was willing to go anywhere and everywhere to talk to people and to share the gospel of Christ. It didn't matter. He'd go to the synagogues. When he'd go into these different places in Asia, he'd go talk to people. He went to the synagogues there as well, but he would talk to those that were not Christians and try to win them to the Lord. That was his focus. That was his life. And that's what he wanted to do most of all, because it wasn't his will, but it was God's will. And that's what he submitted to. And that's where my struggle is often, is what do you submit to, your will or God's will? Hopefully our wills line up. How does that happen? That happens by me following Christ. Then I can be in his will. And that could be my will. Hopefully it is, because I love the Lord. So all three of these things that he's talking about are sacrificing for others for the gospel's sake. His desire was to live the gospel. He wanted to be partaker of the gospel. He said in verse 23, and this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. That idea that he, as a believer, would be partaker in their belief. You know, the best experience a person can have, spiritually speaking, is putting their faith and trust in Christ. That's something that happens to you as a believer, and you never forget that. But right next to that is winning somebody to the Lord and partaking in their belief and seeing them grow in grace. Paul mentioned that he was an ambassador for Christ. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 for a second. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is his heart he's laying out. We'll begin in verse 1. He says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle will dissolve, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. In other words, I'd rather be with God. I'd rather be with the Lord. But I'm in this tabernacle. I'm still in this life. I'd rather be with the Lord. Verse 5 says, now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. That's the down payment. When you put your faith and trust in Christ, you have the Spirit of God. But that fulfillment's going to come to that conclusion when we see Jesus Christ, our Savior. And verse 7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." I'm ready to do this. I'm ready to see the Lord. And then he says, we're still here, he says in verse 9, "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him." We want to please God. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God. And I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance, and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause." Verse 14, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died, Jesus Christ for all, then we were all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, what God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." Paul writes, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." So Paul was saying, even in this passage where he's becoming all things to all men, that was the idea. He's ready to be translated into heaven, to be absent of the bodies, to be present with the Lord. But he also knew there was a reason he was here, and that reason was the cause of Christ which constraineth him, or gave him the motive to serve God and become this ambassador for Christ. And so that was his attitude. That was what he's trying to teach here. Of course, he writes this letter after the first one, but it's a similar thought that he's trying to pass on, that he wants to be partaker of everyone's salvation, that he has this opportunity to lead. But then not only does he do this for the gospel's sake, not only does this for Christ's sake, which we mentioned in verse 15 through 18, but he does it for his own sake. Because Paul was mindful of the idea that it would be easy to not serve God and end up being a castaway. In other words, put on the shelf. Not have those opportunities. Not have those opportunities to be presented to him. Not have the opportunities to be that witness that he wanted to be. And so in verse 24, he picks it up and he says, "Know ye not," and of course he gives examples, "know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one," he says, "receiveth the prize." And he gives us the illustration of a runner. Now, he's talking to these folks here. These folks are in Greece. This is the place, I guess Athens probably more specifically, where they always had the games and things. And so he's giving them something they can understand in this letter, something that brings it home to them, this illustration of running this race, knowing that everybody lines up on that line and everybody hears the gun go off or whatever they used in those days, and they took off and they ran. Every one of them was wanting to win that race, but only one winner. Only one could receive the crown. And he said, "So run that ye may obtain." He says, everybody run this race that you may obtain. And in verse 25, he speaks here. He says, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." And so he's talking about this striving for this mastery or this idea of a struggle. Temperate is to have self-restraint. It's the idea of exercising. You know, we have athletes today. And those athletes, what they do is they map out a plan. They look at their diet. They look at the exercises they're doing. They're looking for the purpose they're doing this is to win whatever this goal may be, whether it's running a race, whether it's winning a football game if you're a quarterback or if you're a wrestler, whatever it is, they're working out for that particular activity to gain strength, agility, to be able to not be hindered by anything, to be able to run that race, be focused on whatever they're doing in that particular whatever, say a runner. And so they're going to have their diet set to a certain thing. They're going to have their training, and they're going to do certain exercises. They probably don't do the same exercises every day. They probably rotate them. I don't know how they do it today, but used to, they would every other day or something. And they would get up early, and they would do this. And they would work out 8 hours a day plus. Why? Because they were focused on one thing, and that was winning the prize. Getting that prize. Because they were temperate in this. They wanted that mastery, if you would. And so he was speaking of denying self. And that's what people do when they do this. If you talk to any athlete who's serious, that's what they do. They live their lives and they just boil it down to this one thing. This is what I'm doing. This is my focus. I've heard testimonies of people who do these things that there's nothing else. There's no social life. There's nothing. It's this. That's all it is. And so Paul is using that illustration as well for us. In Hebrews chapter 12, speaking of running this race, in verses 1 and 2, it says, we just saw Hebrews 11 talking about the heroes of faith. It says, wherefore, talking about those heroes of faith, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The whole idea here is that he's going to lay apart those weights. He's going to get everything out of his life that's going to hinder him from serving the Lord. And here he's talking about the physical aspect of people running a race. They get this prize. Now he's moved that in to serving the Lord. He says, now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. And that is, when we see Jesus Christ, there'll be crowns given to each believer. Well, hopefully. Some may not get a crown. You may make it by the skin of your teeth, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 speaks of. But this is the incorruptible crown. He says, I therefore, this is Paul speaking about his own life, his personal life, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. And that word uncertainly means he assumed it in his mind. He is determined. It's not second guessing. He's already made his decision. This is the goal. This is what I'm doing. I've made up my mind. He says, I therefore so run not as uncertainly. And then he moves it to a different analogy. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Beating the air is generally training or whatever, or hitting nothing. But he was a man that wanted to press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Philippians chapter 3. And that was his purpose, was to follow God. Why? Because he didn't want to find himself in a position that he would no longer be able to share the gospel or no longer be used of God. How does that happen in a Christian's life? How do we lose that opportunity? We chase the world. We find ourselves following the god of this world and sin in our lives, and we're no longer influential with the things of God. We've lost the focus. It's like you put, can't think of a word now. Put these diffusers on lights. You do that to diffuse the light, to spread it out. And that's what happens in Christian life often. We'll diffuse our influence by all the things that we're reaching for and grabbing for. I mean, we could all look at ourselves and look at our time and say to ourselves, what has our life? What is motivating me to do what I'm doing? And that's what Paul is trying to explain to these people. In his life, he has chosen Christ above all, and there's nothing else. And that was important to him because